Lord, I thank you for bringing us all together. I thank you for the words that you have given us that we should study, Lord. And I just ask you to be with us. I ask you to open our hearts to what you have to say today. And I pray that you will be guiding what will be coming from this podium today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that when we leave here, that we won't leave your words here with an empty church, that we'll take them with you, with us. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray this in your Son and our Savior, Yeshua. Amen. Well, a little while ago, I was talking with Sunshine, and she says, you're talking on what and how long are we going to be here? Yes, there's no doubt that I'm not long-winded. I go quick. But the subject matter, I studied it in a half a semester. It took us a half a semester to get through the subject matter. So I hope you brought something to eat and drink while we get going. But no, I am not going to go through the feast one by one and explain them. No. I am going to do the why, and I hope when you leave here, you will do the how. I think so often we lose everything that we've learned because we do leave our words here when we leave. We do leave what we learned or what we heard in the seat we were sitting in. And it's off to whatever the world has. We turn on the radio and we hear one disaster after another. I hear things that just absolutely, I can see my mother pulling her hair out right now for what's happening in this world and this country today, because we have left the words here in the seats. We creep and creep and creep and creep until pretty soon we've been covered. And it's going to be hard to dig our way out, people. We've gotten into such a situation now. And so that's the reason I'm going to tell you the whys today and not the hows. You're going to have to go and study that on your own. Or maybe you can talk and get a Bible study on the feast. The feast of the Lord, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Feast of Weeks, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or if you're from Brooklyn, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And of course, we start with Passover. But first, we need to get it in perspective. We need to come into God's calendar. And it says, Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel the designated times of Adonai, which you are to proclaim as holy convocations, which you are to proclaim as holy convocations, are Jean's designated times, the Pope's designated times, Constantine's times, martyrs' times? No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says my designated times. Who's my? I should have capitalized my. Sorry. But these are God's, Adonai, Hashem's designated times. And that's the first thing we mess up. Well, that's not convenient. If you go back to Israel, what happened? The tribe of Gad. Let's take the tribe of Gad. They decided they wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan, the Yarden. Well, what happened? They were the first tribe to be defeated. Why? Because they were too far from the temple to make the trip. And it gradually got them. They gradually got out of the Lord's will. And they were conquered. Is that not what's happened with us today? We forget. Well, that's not so important. You tell that to the my I should have capitalized. Yeah. My designated times. We, I see us meeting here and there. I see this group has this date and that group has that date. And they've got away from my times. Adonai spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt. He said, "You are to begin your calendar with this month. It will be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the assembly of Israel and say, on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb." And let's stop and go back up what Adonai said. You are to begin your calendar with this month. What is he talking about? What month? Well, now I'll go on. On the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb or a kid for his family, one per household, except that if the household is too small for a whole lamb or kid, then he and his next-door neighbor should share one, dividing it in proportions to the number of people eating it. Your animal must be without defect, a male in its first year, and you may choose it from either the sheep or the goats. Exodus 12:1-5. Incidentally, just for a note, and this is just kind of a side thing. In Genesis 12:1, this is Exodus 12:1, but in Genesis 12:1 is when Abraham was called. I just thought that was a bit of a coincidence. That's when God spoke to Abraham and said, "Leave your family, leave your land, and come with me." Well, let's go back to the time. Time is important. First word in the Torah, in the beginning. Now that may not mean a whole lot to people. I wrote my thesis, and because God started out there, that's where I started. The Bible starts at the beginning. What beginning, you might ask? The answer is the beginning of everything known to man. God had a starting time. Time is important, maybe not to him, but to us for his sake. He looks at us and says, ooh, they need time. And this actually is the first commandment after they leave Egypt. If you look at it and follow it, this is the first commandment that God gives Israel after they leave Egypt. Interesting, it's a commandment. You are to begin your calendar with this month. Now, what if you were in the service and your sergeant said, you are to go wash that? What are you going to do? You're going to go wash it. I believe that Hashem is a little bit higher than that sergeant. When is this time? Do we know when the first month of the year, biblical year, is, according to this? Well, yes, we do. It's the same time every year. Although it's not celebrated the same time every year, the Passover is. But there are other events around that have been moved. It is the first new moon after the vernal equinox. It happens every year at the same time. It's not moved to get Sunday here, Sunday there, or what. That moon is a crescent moon the same time after the vernal equinox. That's the spring equinox. And if you want to know about that, that's when the sun is passing overhead. It does it twice a year. It goes north to south. And the vernal equinox, or the spring equinox, is when it's headed north and it passes over. Head. So it happens the same time every year. And that's the first day of the year. Biblical day. And what happens? On the 10th day of the month, you're to go get a lamb. A wee little lamb. And you're to bring it to your house. Now, this lamb hasn't done a thing. It's innocent and it's perfect. Without defect. And it comes into your household, and your kids get to play with it for 10 days. And then what happens? You are to keep it until the 14th day of the month, and then the entire assembly of the community of Israel will slaughter it at dusk. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on two sides, the top of the door frame at the entrance of the house in which they will eat. Now that poor lamb hadn't done anything. Not a thing. It's lived with them. It's done nothing wrong. But it gave them salvation by its blood. The bone of the lamb that's on the Passover table is an eternal reminder that it was the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the doorposts of every Jewish home which stood between them and death. The blood of the lamb. I read something, and I had to, a long time ago, and I had to go back and find it. It's a poem that was written by I don't know who. But I really enjoyed it. Beneath the blood-stained lintel, I with my children stand. A messenger of evil is passing through the land. There is no other refuge from the destroyer's face. Beneath the blood-stained lintel shall be our hiding place. The Lamb of God has suffered. Our sins and griefs he bore. By faith the blood is sprinkled above our dwelling door. The foe who seeks to enter doth fear the sacred sign. Tonight the blood-stained lintel shall shelter me and mine. That's what Yeshua did to complete the Passover. And that's the 15th day of the first month. Again, that would be a full moon because there's 28 days in the lunar cycle. Also, when they went back to the lunar cycle, it made me think of something. God always has a plan. And I believe this plan, when he pulled them out of Egypt and said, you will follow the lunar cycle that was set down from the beginning. He told them, worshiping a god called Ra, and who was Ra? The sun god. Is not in your vocabulary anymore. He put them back into the lunar time, got them away from worshiping the sun god. See how things creep in? Goes on. Oh, by the way, I hope you remember where all of this is, because each one of these are headed with Leviticus 23. You can find it all there, and go check the how. These are the designated times of Adonai, the holy convocations you are to proclaim at their designated times. Does that sound like an order? Sounds like an order to me. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between sundown and complete darkness, comes Pesach for Adonai. Who are we celebrating? It's for Adonai. He wants us to do it so we remember being brought out of Egypt, taken away from the sun god, brought back to our Lord. And worshiping him. It's a night to thank Adonai. It's a night to thank God. And when is it? Well, do you know what March 27th, 2016 is? It's Easter. I hate to say that word. It's Easter. First fruits. In the Christian calendar. It doesn't work. April 22nd, almost a month later, is Pesach. Pesach. It drifted that far away. He rose a month before he was hung up on the cross. I know his rising from the dead was something, but to do it before he died, that would be... No. I saw that and I thought, oh my goodness. How far we have gotten away from actual time that God said he wanted us to celebrate. To me, that's bad news. I know there's a lot of people that celebrate, that worship and praise on Shabbat, or on Sunday. That's fine. I've heard Sam say this too, that you can worship and praise any day, but Shabbat is still Saturday. That's one of God's designated times. It's nice to be in his will and doing it on the right day. Where did I leave off at? I got carried away here. Oh, yeah. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between sundown and complete darkness, comes Pesach for Adonai. And that was not only a time to remember, but it was a time to look forward to. If you know about the Passover dinner, you have a cup on the table. And that cup is for Elijah. And Elijah is supposed to be bringing in, according to Judaism, the Messiah. So they're all not only looking back, but they're looking forward. And when we celebrate it, we will be looking forward for his coming the second time. And he took us out of bondage. What bondage did he? He didn't take us out of Egypt as the Gentiles, but he took us out of the bondage of our sin. And then we can thank him for that, and then we can look forward to Elijah bringing him in. Now, I'm not going to say that's happening, but that's possible. On the 15th day of the same month is a festival of matzah. Well, that's starting the 7 days of matzah of unleavened bread. And that's that is really something to see in Israel. If you're in Israel, they take their trash and their a lot of their trash and their breadcrumbs, and they get them all cleaned out, and guess what? What they do with them. They take them right out on the street and set them on fire and thank the Lord. But it's something to see that all these piles of stuff out on the street in Jerusalem or wherever you're at, and they're burning them. They're getting rid of their sins. But they're doing it in the open. And you know, sometimes, as Yeshua said to the Pharisees, you kind of go overboard on this, you guys. You're going overboard on what you're doing, but at least why is they're doing it on the right days? And if we go to, guess who didn't bring their Bible up? Ah. Leviticus 9:23-11. Leviticus 23:9-11. Adonai said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel, after you enter the land, I am giving you a harvest. I'm giving you and harvest its ripe crops. You are to bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the Kohen, the priest, the head priest." And this wasn't done while they were going through the Sinai and getting into Israel. This was done after they entered the land, first fruits. And most of this took place after they, except for the Passover, they did that. But most of the first fruits in this part was not done. It says, after you have entered the land. Now, we're coming with Feast of Weeks. And we just kind of take that as Passover, Shavuot. We miss something in there, and I hope I see some lights come on when I talk about this. Because you have the counting of the Omer, and it's 777 until you get to 50 plus 1 and 50. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. Leviticus 23:15-16. Okay, the counting of the Omer, how they did that was they got the sheaves and they got enough kernels for 50 to count them, and they put it in a little dish or wherever, and they took one away each day. Again, it's kind of pointed, I would say. It's pretty direct. Count, and ye shall count unto you. What does that mean? You count each day. You just don't let it go by. It's important. It wouldn't be... He wouldn't have put it in here if it wasn't important. So you have to count each day till you get there. And that's how they do it. They did that by with the counting of the Omer. They called it counting of the Omer. Then we called it the Feast of Wheat, and it was on the Sivan, the month of Sivan. And it was mainly, this is when the barley harvest came into. This is what they were doing, was the barley harvest at this time. But there's something else. They went to the temple, and they were remembering the bringing down. It was 50 days till they got to, from Egypt till they got to Sinai. Coincidence? God doesn't work in coincidence. It was 50 days. So what are they doing at Shavuot? They're celebrating the giving of the law. Okay. Do you know what that meant? What did Moses come down with? All the rules and regulations. He didn't come down with only the Ten Commandments. He came down how to build the tabernacle, and all the rules and regulations. That was the birthday of Judaism. Yeah. The light bulb come on? I hope. 1,500 years later, there was a man standing at the temple steps. And when I go to different churches and they ask what a Messianic Jew is, well, I tell them about Peter. And our church started that day. And it was probably on the church steps because 3,000 came to know Yeshua that day and were baptized in the mikvahs, and that's the only place they had the mikvahs that would take care of that. And this man that was on the preaching was our senior pastor, Peter. Coincidence? No. God doesn't deal in coincidence. Do we not seek out his words? No, we don't seek them out. We just read them and let them go on by. We need to get into the word. We need to know what he's trying to tell us. Otherwise, we end up, I almost got political there. I won't do that. But we do. We need to get into his words. And we can see where we're at and where we're going. That's what the feasts are. The feasts are our roadmap through life. Each one has a meaning. We have now completed these. Yeshua came in the place of the Lamb. He took away that covering. And that's what they believed in, that we were covered with the blood and that God, Adonai, could not see our sins through that covering of blood. That was their belief. Okay. Well, he come, took that away, and cleaned us. He took those sins, and we're clean. We don't have to worry about that covering of blood. He did that for us. Okay. Moving on. Adonai said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel in the seventh month, the first of the month is to be for you a day of complete rest, for remembering, a holy convocation, announced with blasts on the shofar. Do not do any kind of ordinary work, and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai." Leviticus 23. And this is the first day of Tishri, the month of Tishri in the Jewish calendar, the seventh month. And we celebrated that, if you were here. And one of the reasons that they changed the new year, they have a new year instead of the biblical new year. They do celebrate that. They celebrate the biblical new year in Israel, but they have another new year. And then, of course, they have another one, the first. And why anybody would want New Year's in the wintertime, I don't know. Spring was a perfect time. Everything's new. It's coming out. Blossoming, and it's a beautiful time. The Lord has a better way. He does. But anyway, the sages believed at one time that the time that God created the heaven and the earth. And so they made it their civil or physical new year. And that's why they celebrate it that way. But they still celebrate the biblical New Year. So this is just a civil New Year that they celebrate. We celebrate it. It's the time. It's one of the feasts that has not come into play that we celebrate. I believe that it's possibly going to usher in the rapture. I'm not going to say it will, but our Lord is not a Lord of scattered things. He's not a Lord of coincidences. He's a Lord of doing things one after another. And since the other feasts have been completed, why not this be the time? Not that it will be, but why not? I will say one thing that another thing about time. We're told the exact day and hour that Yeshua died for our sins. God didn't see that it was important enough for us to know when he was born, because it doesn't give an exact time. But it was probably during the last feast, because it says there were shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. There was only one time a year that the flocks were allowed to come into the fields. Otherwise, they were out. And that was after the harvest. That was after the fall harvest. They call it the ingathering. This was an agricultural holiday. And actually, if you were in Israel now, Ed, you said something about the sheep being in the fields. Well, they know right away what you're talking about. We just don't take the time to study and look and see what's going on here. But they stoned the sheep if they got into the fields any time besides after the harvest. So it was probably during that time. I'm not saying it was, but there's a pretty good hint there that it was when he was born. Okay. Somebody turn my cheat sheet upside down. Adonai said to Moshe, "The 10th day of this month, of this seventh month, is Yom Kippur. You are to have a holy convocation, you are to deny yourself, and you are to bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. You are not to do any kind of work on this, that day, because it is Yom Kippur, to make atonement for you before Adonai." Because it is Yom Kippur, to make atonement for you before Adonai. And this is another one of the feasts that has not been completed. It is thought that this is the day that he will be judging. I don't know that. It could be. But this was a hard time for them, because they had to go on a 24-hour fast. That's a dry fast. And usually they did it at the synagogue. They went to the synagogue and they were there all day and night. It was tough, because this was the time that the high priest went in and atoned for them. Went in and took the blood and sprinkled it on the ark on the curtains and atone for all Israel. It was a hard time. It was probably the most solemn of your feast days. I believe, Dale, this is Dale only, since we live by the feast, our time is kind of directed by the feast, that when Yeshua, now we have to look at it this way, the high priest had to go in and atone with the blood. I believe that Yeshua took his blood, went in with his Father, and completed his job on earth. I can't imagine, if you have children, how proud could the Father be, Abba be, when his Son brought his own blood in for us. Maybe. Maybe not. But it seems logical because, of course, it would have been in heaven. The ark wasn't here. It just seems to me that would have happened that way. But it's a good story. True or not, I don't know. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day is to be cut off from his people. And anyone who does any kind of work on that day, I will destroy from among his people. You are not to do any kind of work. It is a permanent regulation through all generations. No matter where you live, it will be for you a Shabbat, no matter where, of complete rest, and you are to deny yourself. You are to rest on your Shabbat from evening, the ninth day of the month, until the following evening. And usually that was done in the synagogue. And Zechariah 12:9-10 says, and he's talking about Yom Kippur. When that day comes, I will seek to destroy all nations attacking Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David and on those living in Jerusalem a spirit of grace and prayer, and they will look unto me whom they pierced. Oof. Looking forward to that time. See what's happening. Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel on the 15th day of the 7th month is a feast of Sukkot, and we will be celebrating that along with the Yom Kippur. It's a great time. It really is. It's the end of the harvest. The Lord has harvested his people, I'm hoping. But it's the end of the harvest. And it's a time for celebration. And on the first day, there is to be a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. For 7 days, you are to bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. On the eighth day, you are to have a holy convocation and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai. It is a day of public assembly. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. A little different. A little different than the others, the ordinary. So anyway, they were told that they had to live in Sukkot for 7 days. Sukkot. Get plurals kind of mixed up. But they were to live in that for 7 days. And that was to remind them that he brought them out of the land of Egypt and saved them. And they lived in these huts for that time. And so it's more than once that he's reminding them of that. Somebody got my cheat sheets backwards. These are the designated times of Adonai that you are to proclaim as holy convocations and bring an offering made by fire. That's by fire, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, drink offerings, each on its own day. Besides the Shabbats of Adonai, your gifts are your vows, and all your voluntary offerings that you give to Adonai. More reasons. But on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered the produce of the land, you are to observe the festival of Adonai 7 days. The first day is to be a complete rest, and the 8th day is to be a complete rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit, palm fronds, thick branches, and river willows, and celebrate in the presence of Adonai your God for 7 days. You are to observe it as a feast to Adonai 7 days in the year. It is a permanent regulation, generation after generation. Keep it in the 7th month. That's pretty much a you do it. And we will be doing it. Hallelujah. And you will see what's going to happen. I'm not going into, like I say, it's up to you guys to do the how now. You know the whys. Please go read and do a little studying about this. Or get together and have a group and study about it. Because this is important. It's got to be important. I mean, look at how many times God said this. Do this. So please do this. As we keep Sukkot, you keep your study. Read your Bible every day and ask questions. Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for the words you give us and for directions. And I just ask you to help us to understand them, your words. I ask you to guide us as we read your words, to help us to understand ourselves more, Lord, and where we're standing. Please be with us and all your people, Lord. And open your doors to those lands and those people that have been, had them closed, Lord. Help us to bring your word. And thank you for that. Amen.